Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
All right, so welcome to another deep dive. Okay, so first up, we have a story about a couple of U.S. astronauts, Barry Whitmore and Suni Williams. They just got back to Earth after spending a pretty long time up in space.
Oh, wow. Longer than expected.
Way longer. Like, their mission was only supposed to be 8 days.
Yeah.
But because of some problems with their Starliner spacecraft, they ended up staying up there for a whopping 286 days.
Yeah, space travel, huh? Always some unexpected twists and turns. But 286 days, that's got to have some effects on the body.
For sure it does. Spending that much time in zero gravity can really mess with your muscles and bones. You know, they start to break down.
Right, and radiation exposure is a big concern, too, the longer you're out there. And then there's the whole thing about getting used to gravity again when you come back.
Yeah. Like, have you ever heard of Leland Melvin? He's an astronaut who explained that after being in space, your inner ear, the part that helps you with balance, it kind of gets thrown off.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
So when astronauts first return, they can be really wobbly and even fall over sometimes.
Wow, makes sense. I guess our bodies just aren't used to that kind of environment. I mean, I can barely walk in a straight line after a couple glasses of wine.
You know, NASA doctors are going to be keeping a close eye on these astronauts as they recover.
Good, good.
When they landed, they both gave a thumbs up. So that's a good sign at least, right?
Oh, definitely a good sign.
Okay, so moving on to a very different kind of story. Over in Turkey, there's been some political drama going on.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw something about that. What happened?
So Istanbul's mayor, Ekrem İmamoğlu, he was arrested recently, and this has caused a lot of controversy. See, İmamoğlu is a big rival of President Erdogan.
Ah, so this is political.
Very much so. Some people are even calling it a coup.
Wow, a coup. That's serious stuff.
It is. And the timing is pretty suspicious because İmamoğlu was expected to be a top candidate in the upcoming presidential elections, which, you know, might even happen sooner than originally planned.
Interesting. So what are they saying he did?
Well, he's been accused of leading a criminal organization that was involved in, like, corruption and fraud.
Huh. And anything else?
Oh, and they also claim that he was involved in supporting the PKK, which is a group that's considered a terrorist organization in Turkey.
And what about İmamoğlu? What's he saying about all this?
Yeah, well, he's put out a statement saying that he's not backing down and that he has faith in the people of Turkey and in those who uphold democracy.
Okay, so he's maintaining his innocence.
The Turkish lira has actually dropped in value since his arrest, which kind of shows how much uncertainty there is right now.
Makes sense. The markets don't like instability.
Right. And Turkey's justice minister has also spoken out basically defending the arrest, yeah, saying that they're just upholding the rule of law.
But, I mean, it sounds like there are definitely some strong opinions on both sides here.
There have even been protests and clashes at Istanbul University, even though there was a ban on demonstrations.
So things pretty heated over there.
Definitely. The leader of the CHP, which is the main opposition party, that they're saying this arrest is basically a coup against their chosen candidate for president.
And I'm guessing they're still going to nominate him.
Yep. They've said they're sticking with him. So, yeah, it's a very tense situation.
It really makes you think about the role of political opposition, how important it is to have a system that allows for different viewpoints.
Absolutely. Shifting gears again, let's talk about something a little more positive. How about higher education?
Sounds good.
Harvard University just announced a new policy that's making college a little more affordable for some students.
Oh, that's great. Tell me more about it.
So starting in the 2025-2026 school year, families that make under $200,000 a year won't have to pay any tuition for their kids to go to Harvard.
Wow, that's a huge help for those families.
And it gets even better. For families making under $100,000, Harvard will also cover fees, housing, and food costs.
No way. That's incredible. I mean, college is so expensive these days, any kind of financial assistance can make a world of difference.
Right. It's a really big deal. And, you know, Harvard's president, Alan Garber, said that they're doing this to attract students from more diverse backgrounds and to encourage intellectual growth, you know.
I love that. And hey, isn't MIT doing something similar?
Yeah, they've actually had a similar policy in place for a while now.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why more universities don't follow suit. I mean, the average cost of a year at Harvard is something like $86,000.
Yeah, it's a lot. So this new policy could save some families tens of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, getting into Harvard is still incredibly tough. Like, their acceptance rate was only 3.6% last year.
Yeah, it's not like this free tuition suddenly makes it easy to get in.
True, true. But still, it's a great step towards making education more accessible.
Totally. It really raises a lot of questions about the barriers to higher education and what we can do to, level the playing field a bit.
Oh, sure.
All right, so let's switch gears again. We've got a fun little story about a llama named White Top.
A llama. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Well, White Top is officially the oldest living llama in captivity, according to the Guinness World Records.
Wow, how old is he?
He's 27 years old and 250 something days, but who's counting?
Haha, that's amazing for a llama. Where does this record-breaking llama live?
He lives at a camp in North Carolina called Victory Junction, which is a really cool place. They serve children with serious illnesses and give them a chance to, just be kids and have some fun.
That's so nice. So
Yeah.
what does White Top do at the camp?
Well, he's kind of like a camp mascot, I guess. He's really gentle and loves hanging out with the kids. Apparently, he'll even lie down so the kids can get close to him and pet him.
Oh, that's sweet. I bet the kids really love him.
They do. The barn director there says he's just like the llama that you love and that he's really dedicated to his job.
A llama with a job. That's adorable.
Haha, right. And apparently, when he's not working, he likes to roll around in wood chips and hang out with his best friend, a miniature Highland cow named Gust Gus.
Wait, a llama and a cow are best friends. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. And White Top is so popular, they even have t-shirts with his face on them at the camp.
That's awesome. So, what's the secret to his long life?
They say it's good vet care and lots of love.
Oh, that's so wholesome. This story just shows how animals can really have a positive impact on people's lives, you know?
Totally.
It's a good reminder to appreciate the different ways animals enrich our world.
Okay, moving on. Let's get into our quote of the day.
Always love a good quote. Who is it from today?
Today's quote is from John Wooden.
Oh, the basketball coach?
Yeah, the legendary UCLA basketball coach. He said, "Never try to be better than someone else. Always learn from others. Never cease trying to be the best you can be that's under your control."
That's a good one. It's so easy to get caught up in comparing ourselves to others, you know? But he's right. Focusing on your own personal growth is what really matters.
Exactly. And Wooden definitely knew a thing or two about success. He led UCLA to like a record number of NCAA
So he's
championships.
like the coach of all coaches. I remember reading somewhere that he also had this whole philosophy called the pyramid of success.
Yeah, he wasn't just focused on winning games. He was really big on character development too.
And he was known for being a great mentor.
Golly. This quote is a good reminder that we should be encouraging kids to focus on their own progress and not just on like beating everyone else.
Absolutely. Like fostering a growth mindset where they're always learning and striving to be their best selves.
Okay, so our last story is about a study that looked into something called the dessert stomach.
The dessert stomach. I think I know what you're talking about. Even when I'm full, I always have room for dessert.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So scientists at the Max Planck Institute for Metabolism Research in Germany, they wanted to figure out why we always seem to have room for dessert, even when we've eaten a big meal.
That's a question I've pondered many times myself.
So they did this experiment with mice where they gave them regular food and then offered them these high sugar pellets afterwards.
Okay, and what happened?
Well, even when the mice were already full from the regular food, they still ate a ton of the sugary pellets.
No surprise there. So, what does that tell us?
Well, when they looked at the mice's brains, they found that the neurons that are responsible for making you feel full, they were also activating the reward system in the brain that's associated with sugar.
Oh, interesting. So basically, even though our bodies are telling us we're full, our brains are still saying, give me more sugar.
Exactly. And the researchers think that the same thing might be happening in humans too.
That makes a lot of sense. So what are they going to do with this information?
Well, they're interested in seeing if weight loss medications could maybe target this sugar reward system.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's one thing to understand that we crave sugary things, but if they can actually find a way to like control those cravings.
Yeah, that could be huge.
Absolutely. This could be a game changer for people struggling with weight and, you know, help us understand the whole concept of cravings versus actual hunger.
Right. And it's a good topic to discuss with kids too, Help them understand the difference between being physically full and just wanting something because it tastes good.
Totally.
So that's it for our deep dive today. We've covered a lot of ground. Hopefully this has given you a few ideas about how to talk to your kids or students about some of these topics.
Yeah, even just a little bit of context can make a big difference.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.